When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
It has been forever since I've done a Thunder Punch Daily, and I'm hesitant to go into a big, long story about why it's been so long, but I'll go into it a little bit. The reason why I'm hesitant is because there are folks who are discovering this show for the first time a year from now, and they're just cruising through the archives, and there's no delay between the last episode I did and this one, so they're going, what are you talking about? There's been a big delay. It's just been since I listened to the last one. But I think there's a reasonable or a useful story in here that we can think about as a mini art essay in considering why it's been so long since I've done this show, why there's this really big gap. For those who are listening way after the fact, this is February 2013. The last time I updated the show was with the Thunder Punch special in the summer of 2012. So a significant amount of time has passed. And without going into any kind of like, oh, I was troubled life, or oh, I've been really busy, or oh, I wasn't feeling inspired. A lot of things like that. But the breakthrough moment was when I recorded the Lean Into Art cast recently with Rob Stenzinger and our guest David Say, which you can find at leanintoart.com. I will link to it in the show notes. You can just do a search on the site for David Say, David S-E-A-H. And one of the things that guy does that I highlighted during our discussion is he journals his life publicly. And we talked a little bit about the benefits one derives from doing this. It causes it some it, a drum we beat on the Lean Into Art show a lot in the past, and on the Thunder Punch Daily, I think, is journaling, reflecting helps you coalesce your thoughts surrounding your work, right? It's forcing the artist in question to think really hard about what they're doing and why. And I was talking with my wife about how I really admired how David Say manages to log in all these hours typing volumes and volumes of words, reflecting on his life, and sometimes being very candid, a lot of times come up with really useful food for thought. And then I mentioned to her how I got that benefit from doing Thunder Punch Daily, and how I would love to do it again. This has been on my mind for months to do the show again. And Anne said something that really just crystallized everything for me and made me realize I got to pull the trigger on this thing. And she said, well, you know, doing these little audio essays is how you write. Because like I was considering, like maybe I should do some blog posts like that. Maybe I should, instead of doing Thunder Punch as a show, maybe do it as a blog. But I write slowly. It's easier for me to collect my thoughts in words, in audio, because I teach all the time. This is the medium that I can operate in with minimal effort and get maximum return on my time invested. And so when she said, that's how you write, you should totally do it, I said, yeah, I should. And then this is where we get to like another takeaway, which I will follow up in some future Thunder Punches. I said, well, then I got to figure out how to make it. How do I monetize this? And she's going, bop, 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 bop. She's like, just do it. Just do it for the benefit of reflecting on your workday and figure out the money aspect later. You've got work coming in. You've got money coming in. Don't stymie yourself on starting something by worrying about what the business model is. Just do it for, first and foremost, the benefit of reflecting on your day and see if it's useful to anybody else. What a great, great way to rephrase the whole problem. So, essay. So that's why I haven't updated for a while for a lot of reasons, but that's why I'm back on to doing it. And I plan on doing it more often. I've worked out a Trello board. I've worked out my emergent task planner to schedule these things in a 20-minute segment at the end of my workday. And here we are again. So I've got a reflection from this recent week. A lot has happened since the last time I've done a show, but this is what's happened recently. I've been working on some style tests for the Max Steel's RoboForce line. Reasons why, forthcoming, but for now, it's a style test thing. It's me practicing doing some things that I'm not used to doing. Namely, if you look at the Max Steel's RoboForce toy line from Ideal Toys in like, what, 83, 82, 84, somewhere in that neighborhood, I've heard them being described as Daleks from Doctor Who, and they are similar in shape. A lot of them are just sort of like tubes, like a trash can with like big rubber arms or plastic arms. Like they were sort of like empty accordion plastic, and there was like a button you could push on their back to make their arms do a crushing action. And they had a suction cup on the bottom. A lot of people who grew up in that time period will have vague recollections of this toy line. I loved this toy line. I loved the special. There's a cartoon special you can find on YouTube. And one of the things that it was that when I considered drawing them that would be difficult is how do you make something that is essentially a tube-shaped robot, a rigid tube shape, how do you make that look like it's moving? It's like, how do you take Oscar the Grouch's trash can and make it look dynamic, right? Well, you could do some stuff with angles, but how do you really make it look like it's like twisting as he's jumping over something? You could do some rubbery stuff, some Looney Tunes kind of stuff, but how can I not violate the physics of that robot while still making them look like they're dynamically moving? That is an interesting art challenge. That's just something I've been trying to fit into my art week this week. So yesterday, I started working on it. I started thumbing out, penciling out a couple different poses. And I was trying to stay true to the original model designs. I was not trying to do what I did with my old He-Man redesigns where I'm really taking liberties and simplifying the forms and really exaggerating and stylizing things, but really stick to the model, but try to bring my sense of dynamism to it. And let me tell a story and see if this resonates with any of you guys. I've got 45 minutes left in my workday. I got to go pick up my wife from work in a little bit. The clock is ticking. When I pick her up, I got to start working on dinner. So I'm going to be out of that zone again. I'm in the zone now, but in 45 minutes, I'm going to be taken out of that zone to go live life as a normal human again. And then I'm going to have to try to get back into that zone. So the clock is ticking. The pressure's on. Get this thing on paper. Get a reasonable sketch done before you have to go. And I start sketching. I'm sketching really fast. And the first one doesn't work. As I've said many times on this show and in my classrooms, it's like, if it doesn't work, scrap it, start over. That's why you work in this procedural style of loose sketch to finished version, because you haven't invested that much time in the original design or the original sketch. Not a lot of time wasted. Third sketch, fourth sketch, it's not happening. I can't get this to work. Now, I'm going to point everybody at a post that I put on the Lean Into Art Google Plus feed, and I'll link to it in the show notes here. There's a TED Talk I just watched the other day by a fellow named Young Ha Kim. And the talk was called Be an Artist Right Now. And one of the things he talks about in his TED Talk, it's a great talk, by the way. And one of the things that I thought it was really exciting and inspiring. And one of the things that Anne said after we watched it, she said, wow, it's like watching a Korean version of you, which I took as a great compliment because he does talk very fast and he seems very excited about art. But one of the things he talks about in there is that there are these devils that we have inside of us, and they look like our parents, they look like our old teachers, and these devils ask us whenever we think of a neat art idea, a project that we want to do, they say, what for? And that's the magic question that stops us, right? And it reminded me of this kind of the psychology thing that I always harp on, is that there's plenty of opportunities in drawing or creating anything where you can stop and say, oh my gosh, I'm no good, I'm a hack, I'm a fraud. And this is the moment where everybody finds out for sure. There's no question anymore. When I hit that fourth sketch on that Max Steel character and it wasn't working, I could not get him to stay on model and still look dynamic without really monkeying with him and making him break the model, I thought, oh God, this is terrible. This is no good. But instead of crumpling it up, I left it on the desk because I had to go. And I left and I picked up my wife. We had dinner. We had our family time for a little bit. And then I went back down to the studio that evening and I looked at the sketch again. And I realized that of the four sketches, there was something in the first two and the fourth one that kind of, they were working. I wasn't seeing it at the time because I was so hung up on this stupid emotional state of feeling that, if it doesn't work the first time, you must not be that good. If it's not effortless, if you're not immediately good at it, then you shouldn't be doing it at all, right? But I was reminded, and this is advice that we hear all the time, is walk away from it. Give yourself some time off. You need to emotionally distance yourself from it so you can look at it afresh. And just taking that 3 hours away from the drawing gave me the distance and the calmness to go back at it and recognize, well, here are the three pieces that were working. Let me knit this together into a fifth sketch. And now I can make it come together, at least to my satisfaction for this particular experiment. So that was the big one today, is distancing yourself in terms of time, in terms of emotion. It is exciting to make this stuff, and we should feel really revved up and fired up about what we're creating, but there's always the danger of the flip side of that. The flip side of that is that despair kicking in that, all my hopes and dreams come tumbling down because it didn't work out. So sometimes, even if it's not a time thing, maybe it's an emotional thing, you got to step back and calm yourself down before going back into again to find that energy and find that excitement about it again. And I think this goes for whether you're doing a sketch or a page. I think when you're feeling that frustration with a long-term project, especially taking a couple hours away and getting away from drawing that. For me, I got to get away from drawing entirely. As much as I love it, I just got to stop drawing for a little bit and do something else. Do the dishes, do some vacuuming, do some stuff to like take care of my house, the stuff that I neglect when I'm under deadline, and then come back to it again. But making sure to come back to it without that sense of urgency. I guess that's where I'm really driving here is urgency can be the enemy sometimes. There's a pleasure that comes out of meeting a deadline in the 0 hour, in the last minute, and coming in, you know, with your arm sliding through the door of the FedEx office. Here are the things, mail them right now. Got my taxes in just in time. There's a power in that kind of story. That's something that feels really good. It feels like the end of a movie, right? The airport chase, the chase across the airport to proclaim your love to somebody just in the nick of time, right? But I find personally that urgency works against me a lot. And just calming down and coming at it from let's be playful. And again, that's where I want to point you guys at that talk by Young Ha Kim. He talks a lot about engaging with art in the spirit of play. And engaging with the art, not in a sense of the intended outcome, but getting lost in the process. One of the things he talks about in his talk that I think was so great, and I'm totally going to steal this from my classes, is he talks about forcing the students to just write something. He doesn't tell them what, just start writing. And you don't get to stop and think about it. And he's walking around the room shouting at them, don't stop, don't stop, don't let those devils catch you. You know, you're running away from the devils. And in the process of just getting lost in the process, as it were, ooh, is the process a bad word? I don't know. You not only run away from the devils, but you run away from the devils by virtue of coaxing your mind into that creative zone. And you get your mind to that creative zone, not by thinking about what you're trying to accomplish, but by getting your mind attuned to the act of being creative. And I think that that's a kind of urgency that he's fostering that gets you away from the sense of urgency of shipping, if that makes any sense. Shipping's still important, but getting away from that sense of, oh, it's almost 5 o'clock. This is where I was, right? It's almost 5 o'clock. I got to get going in a minute. And if I don't beat this thing by 5 o'clock, I'm doomed, which trickles all the way down to the moment where your pencil makes contact with the paper and you're not thinking about what your pencil's doing on the paper, you're thinking about what you're actually trying to ultimately achieve. So that sums up this particular essay for this episode. I will be doing more of these because I'm working on a lot of interesting stuff right now, and I think I'm going to have a lot of different takeaways. Even if I don't have, I feel like I have takeaways, I'm going to recommit to the process of looking for takeaways in everything that I'm doing and journaling them here to help crystallize my thoughts, give me more talking points for my classrooms, and hopefully, maybe, providing something that is useful or at least entertaining for you guys. So, who am I? Jersey Drozd, comicsaregreat.com, leanintoart.com, sugarycereals.com. Just go to comicsaregreat.com or my Google Plus. Actually, Google Plus is a good place to find me. Google.com/+JerseyDrozd. Is where you can get to my feed, and that has links to everything that I do. And I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember, everybody.
Helping his dragon friend sure kept He-Man busy today. And Brindle's tests were pretty tough. In one of those tests to prove his courage, he was challenged to a fight. But He-Man wouldn't fight.
The fact is, fighting never proves anything. Trying to find a peaceful way to settle a problem is usually the best way. And if someone calls you a coward or a chicken, don't let it worry you. It often takes more courage not to fight. Until later, bye now.